All right, so today everything is going to be a little bit different. And I'm happy to be having you back on Jack. So hello, and I think you can go ahead and just explain what we're going to do today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I was on your podcast. I think it was 2020, right? There weren't conventions going on. And last year at EJC in Madrid, I had the pleasure of meeting you in person and then also watching you practice. And you started posting some podcasts again, which I really enjoyed. And I realized I had some questions for you, actually, for a couple of different reasons. First of all, I mean, your style is somewhat similar to mine, and then right once you see somebody practicing in person, see them juggling, you get a sense for what their juggling is really like and for what their how their practice style, right? So I figured I'd ask you some questions as well, and since you have a podcast, what better place to do it than interview the host? So I'm usurping today. Is this okay?
Oh yeah, great. And I also want to say thank you for saying that you appreciate the podcast and that you like the more recent episodes, because there was a 3 year hiatus in between. So yeah, let's go.
Of course. Well, I mean, first of all, I don't think we've talked since EJC, or maybe we've texted a bit here and there, but what are you up to these days, first of all, and how's everything going, and how much are you juggling?
I feel like it's always, depending on mostly the weather. That's really the kind of main culprit that either, stops me from doing anything or lets me go practice every day. No, but you're right. Things have changed. I'm working now. So before I was a student last year, whereas now I'm sort of a teacher. So it's not exactly an internship, but it's you're done studying and then you have like a 18-month period where you're sort of doing an internship, but you're actually a teacher. You just work about half the amount of time that an actual teacher would work, but you have a lot of other stuff on top of that. So I mostly juggle in the afternoons, and I'd say currently about, an hour 3 times a week maybe. And that can also sometimes be not at all, but then the next week, 7 days a week. So like keeps going. There's no real consistency, even though I would like there to be, but there's just a lot of stuff going on. And then with the weather, sometimes it just doesn't work out. Like today, it was just too hot to do more than 30 minutes.
Okay.
I
Yeah,
did
how
Diavolo a little bit. I'm trying to learn three, but that's just like a side hustle.
You're trying to learn three Diablos?
I'm getting closer. I'm getting like 4 to 5 catches every time now, so I'm
That's
hoping
amazing.
to
That keeps things exciting for sure. So you mentioned only practicing for a half an hour or even 30 minutes. But personally, I have sort of this idea that for whatever reason, German jugglers specifically seem to train super hard, like maybe for 3, 4, 5 hours a day. So it's interesting to hear that as your time permits, only juggling for maybe half an hour or an hour. What does that practice look like? Like, take me through what a normal practice looks like if you have, say, 1 hour of time to do it.
Well, first I think I need to explain that I used to practice a lot. So, back in the day. So especially my biggest jump was probably from 2013, so early 2013 or mid 2012 until late 2015. So that was where I made the most progress and where I was practicing the most. And I would say the practice structure since mid 2013 hasn't really changed. It's just that now, if I had time to practice, 2 hours, I would probably go all in and do the 2 hours or 2.5 hours. But it's just now I try to, I know what feels right. Like I will always start with 5 balls. I will always do 6 and 7 after. And then I just focus on what feels right. So like today I just did a couple of 180s, 360s, Millsmas, back crosses, and then went on to the six and seven balls and did a head bouncing with all those different numbers of objects. And then I did some 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 club juggling. But it's mostly, it comes down to like me doing, it just feels like going through the motions, you know. I'm not really super focused. I'm just listening to music or podcasts. And I just try to keep going through the same practice routine every time. And the one thing I noticed, though, is that these past couple of years, since I wasn't able to do a 2-hour session all the time, I was a couple of years ago, started to focus on things that I wasn't yet able to do. So, for example, balancing and juggling. I wasn't really good at that. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to juggle for 3 hours every time anyway, so I'm just going to focus on tricks that you can learn just practicing 2 to 3 times a week instead of 7. You know? Because okay. I knew I wasn't going to get very far with 7 clubs, so I might as well focus on things that take less, like juggling 5 balls with a head bounce. Mm-hmm. It's super, super difficult, but it's still so much easier than making progress with 7 clubs. And that's something you can get better at practicing 2 to 3 times a week. Or juggling 5 clubs with a balance, getting that solid. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things and that way I was able to actually make a lot of progress with, you know, I did 6 club fountain with a balance for, I don't know, 20 or 30 catches, you know, last week, just practicing it on and off. Whereas with 7 clubs, I'm not really making any progress, even though I keep trying. But I feel every summer I keep telling myself this is the summer that I'm going to get better, but then it doesn't happen. So
I think I can really relate to that for a couple of reasons. First, right after you've been juggling for a long time, you know, maybe 10 years, 15, 20 years, the definition of progress changes, and the amount of effort and time that it takes to make incremental progress on a skill like 7 clubs, for example, that's a great one. That takes a lot of time and effort, and especially as you get older, right, and other things come into the picture like work, you know, time is shorter. It's nice to start to work on things that you can, where there's more progress to actually be made, right? Starting a new skill, and head bouncing is a great example, even for me, right? Because I started learning that.
That's how you do that too, right? The bouncing too, the head bouncing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, that, you know, something with the head bouncing too, it forces you to work on basic patterns, just a cascade or a fountain or whatever. And I think that's great for, developing, you know, consistency and accuracy and things like that. So I certainly resonate with that. And you talk about practicing for an hour. That's about where I'm at too. Going through the basics, sort of checking in on those, well, I say basic skills like back crosses, 360s, cascades.
It also gives you, by the way, just gives you a lot of time to focus on more or less, I don't know, less tangible things. I don't know, like your posture or things like very fundamental things that might be wrong with your base patterns, like you were just saying, you know. Because after 2016, when I started going to university, I started working on my ring, like, catching technique, because it was getting really, really rough practicing more than 20 minutes. So I decided that I was going to start thinking about how I'm actually catching the rings. And it took me about 2 years or maybe a year and a half just practicing 3 and 4 and 5. In a less in an environment where I was less focused on achieving like something new, you know, or getting better significantly. And after those 2 years, my 7 rings felt better than they ever had before. And I was getting I wasn't really getting injured anymore with rings. So I've really, you know, today I'm really glad I went through that process. But it took that sort of, it wasn't even time off, but it took that amount of time to put in the juggling, you know.
Yeah, that's a perfect sort of a perfect segue into one of my other questions. Sort of watching you practice at EJC. Well, there are a couple of things that I noticed. First of all,
super interested to hear.
Well, it was great for me to watch. I mean, first, because you were really consistent with a lot of tricks and a lot of different patterns and site swaps that you could run for a long time. And we can talk about building consistency and maybe how you've done that in the past during, you know, during times where you were practicing more, more frequently. But the other thing was the just high proficiency in all three props, right? Balls, clubs, and rings. I feel like the best jugglers, right? They always are good at all three props. I mean, there are jugglers who are maybe especially incredible ball jugglers, with, you know, certain patterns or certain techniques, people who are great at just clubs or just rings, but you really had all three going. And rings, for me are, they've always been an afterthought in my juggling, partially because you can't juggle them outside really. And partially because you can't juggle them outside, right? And it sounds like you practice a lot outdoors, so you understand that. And then also the element of injury too. And it's just uncomfortable to juggle rings sometimes if your technique isn't developed properly. So on that note, I never really developed proper ring technique, I don't think. I still don't have a sense of how to release them, like how to make a throw, how to make throws that go straight up with rings. And also how to angle them properly, because like clubs, there's an element of angling them too. So you would just mention spending a couple of years really working on the fundamentals of ring juggling technique. What did you focus on during that time? Exercises that you worked on a lot, and what did you learn from doing that about juggling rings?
Well, the first thing was just the very basic idea of how to catch a ring, because that was my biggest problem at first. You know, I was like Thomas first, like before even trying to change the technique, just wearing gloves, like these, cycling gloves. I don't know what they're called. But that didn't really work. It just made it harder to juggle. And then, because the rings would like hit the part of my hand, but right between the thumb and the index finger, which is slammed right in there all the time. And I would get like cuts, like really deep cuts. I would like be bleeding all the time. It was like the main memory I have from 2014, 15. Yeah. Right. So it would like bleeding all the time. So then I was just starting to catch it like in the palm of my hand, like right here. Okay, so, and then when you wrap your hand around it, you actually see how it's just off to the side from where it used to be before. And I would, but you can't, like, theoretically, it's very easy to understand why that's better, because it really, it doesn't hurt at all. But the problem is that to develop this sort of technique and get it to the point where it's just an instinct, right, where you just go and grab every single ring that way. The best way for me to develop that was to just juggle 3-ring cascade and 4-ring fountain in my room. Like, I don't know, 20 minutes a day when I was listening to my podcast, because I've always been into podcasts, so it's very easy to, like, do things on the side as I'm listening to podcasts. And then at practice, I would just juggle 5 rings and do like 3 up 180s or stuff like that, and really focus on really getting the hand as well underneath the ring and have the ring slam into my hand in order to really feel where it comes down. And over time, that was actually good, because it forced me to make the pattern higher and slower. And the most important thing ring juggling taught me, which also helped my ball juggling and my club juggling, was the rhythm. So it really forced me to, I sort of think of it as when you make a throw, there is sort of a certain amount of time before and after that throw that you need to sort of, theoretically, you have to be able to make the throw earlier or later, depending on how the pattern is going. So you need to make your pattern lofty, and there needs to be a lot of time before and after the throw where nothing is happening, where you're not immediately catching the first, the one before, where you're not immediately making the next throw. You get what I'm saying? So it's almost like those side swap generators. There is a moment in time where nothing's in your hand. It's not like one ring leaves the hand and the next one is caught immediately. Yeah, and then that took a little bit of time. And I think now it's just automatic. Like I couldn't even juggle differently. Like to me, that's natural now. And it also helped me with my angles with clubs, my height with clubs. So my seven rings also helped my seven clubs, I think. And then ring juggling helps with the angles, especially when you're talking six rings to get them out like that, which also helps your six clubs. So in a way, rings, it was not really my favorite for a long time, but over time, I started to also see not only the ring juggling itself, but also the benefits you can get from it for all the other props.
That's really interesting. I've never thought about that. And the visual you described, of course, I guess the listener won't have the video here, but the visual is really striking, catching the ring underneath like you were describing. Because
that's exactly what I was focusing on. Yeah.
I remember watching you in the gym and that's how you were catching the rings. Whereas I've seen, sometimes I'll film myself juggling seven rings, for example, and I juggle it kind of out. It's out in front of me. But you were clearly catching them underneath. And you also mentioned the height aspect. That's something I've struggled with seven rings, six, seven, eight rings. I just can't throw them high enough, and seven rings becomes very fast. So those are sort of helpful pointers.
Yeah, another one would probably be, now that you're mentioning the seven and saying you just said that they're getting too fast. Also, another thing, I saw it in a Gatto video where he was explaining, I think, a six-up pirouette with six balls. And I think it holds true for rings as well. He was talking about how you don't actually, when you make high throws, you don't actually swing as much as you should actually push a lot more, right? So when you make a throw, you don't swing as much, but you push, because the more you swing, the more the rings are like either going too far back, too far in front. And I sort of feel the same way with rings. You actually push a lot more than you might think because it's rings. So, you know, when you grab a ring and you release it, you give it a little like chuck with your hand, right? So I feel like focusing more on a push, even though they still have to rotate, is also a good idea to make the pattern higher. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. And also, I think there's a great example that you made about working on three and four rings, right? Just to develop the fundamental technique for throwing and catching a ring. You know, really, I find that with any skill that I'm working on, and it's so hard to do, right? Especially if you only have a bit of time every week to juggle, or if you get ahead of yourself very easily, like I do, and you just want to work on, you know, if you want to work on seven rings, you practice seven rings. But sometimes the best way to practice seven rings is really to practice three and just develop that. Because I can already juggle seven balls. I think I've got that down pretty well. So I think, I'll work on seven rings if I want to practice my seven rings. But it's a different animal completely throwing and catching rings. So it really does make sense to break it down all the way to three and four. So I like that. Thanks for that insight. I feel like my ring juggling is always the thing that's been lacking. It's just never been comfortable.
Yeah. But I should also say I'm not a real ring juggler. You know, the only thing that's like an actual trick with rings is pancakes. Like the only one that I do. The rest is like ball juggling with very thin balls with holes in them. I wouldn't really say. And also I did some ring balancing. I'm trying to incorporate the head bounce, so that's slowly getting better, you know. But it's still not where I wanted to be. Yeah.
What's the process been like for you learning the head bounce? How did you start with that, aside from learning to bounce the ball in your head, right? I have my own perspective on
that.
That
was the least cool part. That was the hardest part, just learning to bounce. Because back then, I met Lewis. I thought Gatto was the only one that could bounce and juggle. So then I saw Lewis Kennedy, and I was like, wait, normal people can juggle and bounce? So, you know, I'm not saying it can't be that hard, but it's like, okay, so it's possible to learn, you know. But then he told me, he learned to juggle after learning how to bounce. And, yeah, exactly. So he was able to head bounce first. And he,
what, Lewis or Anthony?
And I think Gatto too, probably, because I saw a video where from Vaudeville Acrocat to the King of Juggling, where his dad was saying how they started bouncing balls and balancing before they actually started to juggle. So, you know, maybe holds true for both of them. I don't know. But I think my main problem was I kept trying to get really, really good at like one ball and then two balls and then three balls before moving on to anything else. So I got up to a five ball qualify or 20, 30 catches. That was probably my best run in 2014. So it took me maybe a year to go from no bouncing to like qualifying five balls. I don't know. And then I didn't make any progress for the next 7 years, I want to say, because I kept trying, but I was so intensely focused on getting the three balls perfectly solid that I was never trying to go for four or five. And what I should have done, which is what I started doing 2 or 3 years ago, is just do a couple runs with three, with four, and with five every practice. And just then just spend like 5 minutes on it in total. I just do that every day. And that made me progress so much faster than before that now I know, looking back, you know, what I should have done 8 years ago. But I'm trying to use that now as a technique to learn, you know, six balls with a bounce and six rings and seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it gets tricky with the higher numbers, right? Because the height of a head bounce is maybe a foot or a, well, okay. Yeah, I guess you
don't
know
what a foot is. I know what a human foot is, but
yeah, well, yeah, maybe the distance of a human foot. We're using different metrics, right. But it's not very far above your head, right? And yeah. neither is five balls. So there's kind of a range of height above you that it's all contained within. But when you start getting up to seven balls, or if you're using rings, you know, five, six, seven rings, the pattern is significantly higher than the head bounce. So
I try to balance a club and do the pattern just to, I just do that every time I practice. I do like one or two runs with six balls with the balance and six rings with the balance. And then also seven balls and seven rings with the balance. I just over time, just doing that like twice every practice, just two attempts, I've gotten up to, I don't know, 100 catches with seven a couple times. I've never worked on it more than, you know, maximum of five tries per practice or something. But I've gotten up to 100. You know, and I can do like 30, 40 pretty easily most days. So,
So you said you mentioned only trying something two times, maybe maximum of five times. I spent years trying things 10, 20, 30 times, right? Kind of going back to having only an hour to practice. And I think that's what most people have, if that, to practice their juggling. Walk me through your mindset during those two or three attempts. Maybe there is no specific mindset, but I imagine you have to be pretty focused if you're only going to give yourself two attempts and you want to have a shot at actually improving something or refining something within two attempts. What's your mindset like during that?
No, it's actually worked. I'm not saying that I've never done it, you know, tried something for an hour. I've definitely had those days where, you know, or especially with like the base patterns, like seven clubs, at some point you're just going to have to keep trying. But even then, I'm the kind of person that after 5 or 10 minutes, I'm done. Whereas other people would probably keep trying for an hour to get a good run with seven clubs. I personally never do that. I mostly do like 3 minutes these days. No, the most important thing, two things. So when I stopped counting catches, that really helped me because it allowed me to focus on the juggling. But then also, too much focus can also be a bad thing, I feel like, because when you keep telling yourself, I'm just going to have trust in the process. And that's just, at some point it's going to click. And that's actually what's worked best for me. So whenever I go and, for example, five clubs with a balance, wasn't a, I wasn't real, I wasn't I did my first 100 catches in 2015, but it was super inconsistent. Like even 2 years after, there would be days where I wasn't going to be able to do 10 catches sometimes. So then, and I guess 2019, maybe, yeah, I started doing it 5 times a day, so 5 attempts without thinking about anything, just giving it 5 tries, no focus, nothing. And over time, I just started to develop a good feel for it over time, without focusing on it. And your body and your brain, I don't know, for some reason, they just start to work together without you necessarily having to force yourself super, super hard. And also it makes it more, I like to push myself, but I don't like to be super focused all the time because that makes me tired. And I want to have all the energy for the juggling itself. Yeah. So, no, I don't actually try to bounce the ball until it's perfect. And only then will I start to juggle. I just go for it, even with the 6 balls. Because the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh, can I make the first throw now? You know what I mean? So I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to bounce it. Even if I'm still walking around trying to correct the ball, I'm already going to start to juggle. Because that makes it so much easier on my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also you gotta develop a sense of, you know, how do I correct this when it's going a little bit in that direction and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's same with 5 ball back crosses. I wasn't making any progress post 2015, and I just started doing it like 5 times a day, that without thinking about it, and that's what actually in the end. I wouldn't say I'm like super good at it, but I'm definitely solid. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like when I juggle, sometimes there's sort of a dialogue going on in my head or in my mind while I'm juggling, whether it's on the throws that I'm making or counting catches. I mean, that's a big one. I've always done that by default, count the catches.
Yeah, me too.
And I realize now that you say that, how much that's probably detracting from my focus on the just the juggling in general, the sensation of the body when you're juggling, right? How something feels physically.
But
when
I
there
also
are other...
get why, you know, I did it too, and it's not necessary. It can also be a real source of motivation, right? To
mm-hmm.
know where you're at and how close you're to a record or things like that.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe.
Rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is your, how do you approach learning a trick or these days? Do you still work on things? Is there things that you want to get better at, or is it just 7 clubs?
Well,
like most people.
Right. I mean, I really don't work on 7 clubs very much. It's the last thing I do in my practice. I'm usually tired or ready to be done at that point and to, you know, go about my day. So I'd say I only work on it for 5 minutes. And usually if I get a couple of good run, and for me, you know, good these days is 20, 30 catches and maybe one close to 50 catches. That's enough for me. I don't feel the need to go much longer than that. As far as tricks that I'm really trying to learn, you know, there's not a whole lot. I kind of go through the same sequence of tricks now. I really want to get my ring technique. I just want to improve it in general. It's just never felt comfortable. You know, I can do 5 rings, of course, but I'm making a lot, even adjustments doing 5 rings. And I really like the way higher numbers look with rings. I like the way it looks with the head bounce too. It's just a really good looking trick.
In
so
a way, I feel like it's the easiest prop in a way, you know, like doing, because it's so slow for me. Because you're throwing higher than with balls. So even 5 rings to me feels a little bit like slow motion. Like not 0.5x, but like 0.85.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'd like to experience that because my patterns feel too low and too fast. So I'd like to get 7 rings. Yeah, I'd like to get the 7 rings solid. I feel like I swing my arms a lot when I do it, and that makes me throw the rings back, you know, and releasing eight or nine rings, I swing my arms far too much, and the throws always go back just on the release. I usually don't even have a shot at running it. And when I do, it's always rushed in all this. So that's kind of what I'm working on. I've started working on nine balls again a bit. And that's been getting better, but that's another one of those things like seven clubs. And in fact, it's harder than seven clubs because it's just a heavy pattern. It takes a lot of energy to release it. And then also to release it accurately can be difficult. So, and to run it, I mean, to run it for longer than 30, 40, 50 catches, like that's really not easy. But when it is working and when the pattern looks perfect, which does happen sometimes, that's really nice. So
I'm getting better at the release, just doing it every time I practice, you know, just doing three or four attempts at, of nine. That's all I do. And I feel like over these past couple of years, even though I've not really done a lot of juggling compared to, you know, back in the day, still it's been getting better. So every EJC, I feel like, oh, the nine balls isn't as bad as it was the last year.
Yeah. Well, there's something not, you know, not having a lot of time to juggle. There's something oddly satisfying for me about just juggling the cascade, you know. It's obviously it's the most basic pattern for juggling, or the fountain, I guess, right? And I feel like even watching other jugglers, oftentimes the most satisfying thing to watch is just their basic pattern, especially when it looks very comfortable. And I mean, you can think of all of the examples of people who,
Manuel,
yeah, who look great just juggling the cascade. And at that, I mean, you can tell a lot about a juggler's approach and their technique just from the way they juggle the basic pattern, you know, whether they can do 720s or back crosses or pancakes or anything like that. Just the basic pattern.
You walk through the gym at like a convention, a bigger convention, and usually from the five balls, just the base pattern, you can tell if they can do seven or not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and of course, learning to juggle with a balance, to juggle with a head bounce, that requires, you know, pretty great control over just the basic pattern. So more reason to work on those things.
Right. But I would still say that, because this can sort of discourage people from trying it. You know what I mean? I feel like as soon as you're solid with five, for example, you can go for five in the head bounce. You can just go and try. Mm-hmm. Because that's the one mistake I made, and I still regret to this day not having tried that earlier. Mm-hmm. Having, you know, I don't know, being stuck with three and still not getting anywhere with three.
Sure. I never thought to try the head bounce thing until the last couple of years. One thing I like to do sometimes as well, rather than just, say, balancing the club and doing the six balls or the seven, is once, you know, maybe the first thing I'll do with seven balls or five even is the cascade, and I'll just get that locked in. And then all I'll do is basically tilt my head back, completely back, and pick a point really high on the ceiling and just stare, okay, just focus on that as much as possible, right? And then at that point, you can't really see the cascade too much, so it's all based on feeling, just how it feels in your hands and sort of visualizing the space above your hands. That's one of those exercises that's kind of unique to try. But yeah.
So when was your, because I can ask questions too. What is the now? I think I asked you this already, but when was the period in your life where you were the best juggler you ever were? What was your best juggling moment, I guess, a period of time?
Probably around the time that we did the interview, or when I was on your,
right, because you made podcast, you were making videos back then. Yeah, right, 2020. I remember.
Yeah. I mean, Spencer had asked me to do the 100 tricks thing that year, and I at the time I thought it was foolish for me to accept that, because that's a lot of filming 100 tricks in a year. I mean, I guess I could film 100 tricks pretty easily, but if they're going to be interesting tricks, then that's a different project or new ones.
Exactly.
So that forced me to be trying new things pretty often. And then COVID was a thing that year, so I
was
just
a good thing to just like get out and have something to be looking forward to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I just had more time, and my work situation was in a different place where I had more time outside of work. So all of that stuff kind of came, and I had just gotten back into juggling in the year or so prior. So all of that stuff came together to basically, I was just practicing a lot and trying a lot of new stuff. So I'd say that
I could
was
never
probably
get into, getting a trick that's significantly more difficult than what you would do in practice. Like, you know, I think post 2014, I just got super fed up trying things that would take more than, I don't know, 5 attempts or 10 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And now I almost never do that.
Like yeah.
A year.
Yeah. Well, and I guess it all comes down to what you're going for with the juggling. You know, I felt that at that time I had the space to attempt something for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or even an hour, like just trying a trick over and over again, which is candidly how I did a lot of the things I did that year. I feel like a lot of the bigger tricks that I filmed were just lots and lots of attempts. But I mean, even to do something incredibly difficult, you have to be able to do something sort of one step below it pretty well. Like, I'm just,
if you
want to
do a seven up, you've got to be able to do a five up.
Right.
You don't have to be, but you better be.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time trying to get a 720 with 6 clubs that year. And I had gotten it a couple of times, but really that forced me to get my four up, like my four up 360 with 6 clubs just in the fountain, really, really solid. And it's not anymore, but that was kind of helpful for, you know, and of course a four up with 6, I mean, that's pretty hard too. So,
that's pretty hard.
working on something that's a step or a leap beyond that, you get sort of the more, you know, the thing underneath it a little bit better too. I guess another question I had for you sort of on that note with, you know, what you're going for with your juggling is, you know, sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's for you at this point, it's more of something that you enjoy doing and want to maintain, like want to keep up with. What keeps you coming back to juggling specifically these days, aside from the community aspect? Because I think that's a lot of the reason people continue juggling is because
yeah,
they
definitely.
friendships
has become more so over the years. The reason why I keep coming back to it, but still, like you just said, it's definitely not entirely right. I'm definitely not a social convention goer per se. 100%. So, no, I would say I definitely still want to improve. So I have a couple of things I want to learn. I just have one thing left on my bucket list. I want to learn 7 clubs. So I want to get it solid. That's the only thing left for me to do as far as juggling. I just like that would be the, because when I was learning 7 balls, I never thought I would be able to actually get it solid. Mm-hmm. And then when I got it solid, I remember the 2 years after that, I would, and still to this day, I'm still super proud of that achievement. Because I'm like, even now, like working and all the obstacles you have to face and the things that are sometimes difficult to do, you know, some things you're struggling with or some challenges, some new challenges that keep coming up. Thinking back to like what it was like learning 7 balls, that was so much more difficult than anything I did after that, you know. Also given that point in my life where I was at and stuff. So learning 7 and then 7 rings, same experience. And then 7 clubs, that would be like the highlight of my life if I were able to get that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's I'm going to keep going, and then every summer I'm going to keep saying that, and then hopefully one summer I'll be able to show it. So maybe I won't tell anyone and then go to EJC and then juggle seven clubs for a minute and then do a collect.
What's is that your definition of sort of having something solid is a minute?
I just wanted to be like my six clubs where I can just pick it up and do, I don't know, 150 or 200 catches in the fountain, but in seven club cascade. That would be nice. So if I could do, a minute without trying too hard, that would be nice. Or even if I could do 100 catches on every, like every try.
Oh yeah, I mean
I mean,
that's good.
that's what I would, consider to be a solid pattern. So.
Oh, yeah, good enough for me. So I mean to juggle seven clubs or seven rings or seven balls, like I don't any of those for 1 minute. That is a to me that is a physical feat of some kind that I think most people don't realize. Is there anything that you do outside of your practice to prepare yourself to be able to do something like that? I'm sure you're not training endurance on that level these days, or maybe you are, but if you were, or back when you were training endurance more, is there anything that you would do to sort of physically prepare yourself for that, or even mentally to prepare yourself to practice like in your daily life?
I would just say I'm a pretty good for a person that's not a runner. I'm a pretty good runner, but runner as in for cardiovascular reasons, like endurance running. But not like Dave Leahy, who's doing like a 2 hour, 2.5 hour, with a 2 or 3.5 minute pace, per kilometer. No, but I would. I'm just someone that really is able to, I don't know, push through the pain. And I'm a skilled person, so I like acquiring new skills. Like I was just recently talking with Andre because I feel like he has a very similar mindset. Like everything that I learn and pick up, I consider to be a skill. So like a couple years ago, I picked up reading again, just like reading books. And for me, it's like, okay, when I want to read a book, I'm gonna be reading for 10 or 12 hours straight. Just sitting in a chair, reading, reading, reading until I'm done. If it takes 2 days, that's what I'm gonna be doing for those 2 days, and then I'm done with the book. So this summer break, the first thing I did was I took the first week and I read like six books in the 1 week. So to me, everything is a skill. Even like eating stuff, like so. This is gonna sound so weird, but even like getting used to eating stuff that I didn't used to like carrots. I used to hate carrots, and I would just like eat half a carrot like every day, bring it to school with me, and then I just got used to it. And then I same thing. I would go to the cafeteria in college, and I would just order the what is it called, cauliflower. Even though I didn't like it, just to get used to it and have that be part of my meal. It's acquired being able to eat that as a skill. So yeah, and I just love juggling. Like you were just saying, the sensation of juggling, no matter what exactly I'm doing, I just love the. It's almost like meditation, because you immediately stop thinking, like almost immediately. It never takes more than 2 minutes. Just you stop thinking about everything else around you. And you're just so focused, and that makes it a really good, don't know, way to distract yourself, just not in a negative sense, but like distract yourself from everything else with life, with work. Yeah, so even though it's physically demanding, even or taxing, like seven balls, still that it still represents something that's not the rest of your life.
Right. I resonate with that for sure. It's something I keep coming back to that I can do, you know, that I know that I'm good at, and it's nice to have that. And yet sort of the mental state that develops when I'm juggling, and sort of in the zone is really, really nice. And it's not something I can get really many other places. I think one of my favorite things that I do in my practice is just the seven ball cascade. Picking up seven balls for the first time in my practice and running it for 200 catches, you know, a moment. There's always a moment where the pattern locks in perfectly, where every throw is going the same height and the pattern looks how you always wanted it to.
And also the sense you're like, it's sort of like the closest thing we have to magic, right? To me, that's almost what I imagine magic would feel like.
Mm-hmm.
If it were real, like there's very few things in life that are like magic. But since it, like, you know, zooming in on a photo on your phone with two fingers, to me that feels like magic, you know? When you like a larger photo, or when you scroll through like a list with your finger, and juggling is sort of the same. Like the first time I was like zooming in on like a phone,
mm-hmm.
that's sort of the same. But with juggling, you keep like repeatedly getting that sensation.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, I feel like one of the other things for me that I really enjoy about juggling is the feeling of a breakthrough. That's a nice one. When you've been working on some skill for a while and you don't see a lot of improvement, and then one day something clicks and maybe you don't have it perfect now, but you're way further along in the process of learning something than you were before. That's always.
Do you keep regularly having breakthroughs, or is it just something that happens once in a while?
Once in a while, yeah. I mean, head bouncing, there was kind of something that happened there, I think, where I just got a sense for the rhythm. That was, yeah, maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago, where I felt like something is sort of broken through there. And then, you know, it happens sometimes now. Like recently, I had a really nice run of pancakes with five rings. I really can't do pancakes very well, but I finally had a moment where it was, the height felt comfortable for the first time. It was well spaced and it didn't feel much harder than just doing five rings in a normal cascade. Now, I haven't really followed up on the pancakes too much, so I haven't. And usually in my practice, once something goes very well, once I decide that's
up the idea of what that practice was like.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that felt really good. Let's not push this. Just take a moment and reflect on what that felt like. And then, because, yeah, then you can end up disappointing yourself, or you can end up sort of overriding good muscle memory with bad muscle memory. And I feel like I could be better about just pressing forward after something feels good and like keeping it going, right? Because you need at a certain point, like
sometimes I feel like, does that really make sense? Because I used to feel that way, you know, like if it's going good, why not keep going, why not keep pushing? But now I'm like, five attempts a day is all it takes. The best thing to do is to put as many different tricks in your practice as you can, mm-hmm. as you can possibly fit in. Which I think probably is very specific to juggling, because I think with lots of other sports, what I've heard most was that you really have to focus on what you're going for. Whereas with juggling, I feel like the more things you work on at the same time, but every day, that's the most important thing. You just got to keep doing it every day. And you got to have mm-hmm. the order in your practice structure be the same every time. But as long as you keep doing that, just try to fit in as many different tricks as you can in order, so that you're going to make progress slowly but surely. And that way, especially in 2013, 14, 15, I just kept having the most random breakthroughs, you know, randomly, that I wasn't even expecting. You know, I was in my head, of course, I had that idea of learning to do seven clubs or six club fountain. But then I was doing, like, I don't know, five ball overhead side swaps, and they were feeling much better than ever before. And that was really motivating to be like, okay, even though some things might feel shit, something else might feel great. And there would mm-hmm. always be two or three things every single practice session that would feel amazing compared to, you know, all those days before. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's when I like to put in as much as I can. Yeah, and go from trick to trick to trick to trick.
That's a nice feeling too. I try to do that like with four clubs, for example. I have, you know, maybe 15 different tricks that I'll do with four clubs in the span of just a couple of minutes usually. And Manuel Mitash, he does the same thing. I've seen with three clubs and with four clubs, he does so many different tricks, and usually he just hits them all once and just keeps going. But developing that variety, I think, is really nice. Another place that I have started doing this recently is with sight swaps. So I used to like sight swaps more. And
with balls or with clubs?
With balls, is kind of how I'm doing it now. But I got kind of tired of them because, well, first you learn them and then what, right?
Yeah, it's like, in a way it's super, you can be super creative, but it ends up being the least creative thing in a way. Even though
yeah,
you keep doing like new stuff all the time.
Well, and that, and I don't find a lot of sight swaps aesthetically pleasing to watch other people do necessarily. So I stopped doing them for a while. And recently, especially with 5 and 6 balls, I'm starting to do a ton of different sight swaps at the start of my 5-ball practice, because I realize it's really good for understanding height and space and right. Is that something that you've experienced, or do you do a lot of sight swaps in your practice?
I do a little bit, but I wouldn't say I'm a sight swap juggler. You know, I definitely remember in 2015 how everyone was working on B97531. I was definitely jumping on that train. But these days, all I do is 645, 744, 664. 6, 7, 5, 6, 1, 8, 4, 4, 8, 6, 4, 1 or something. So that's pretty much all I do. Yeah. So I don't try to learn new side swaps. Mm-hmm. I just do what everyone else does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I understand what you mean. Like, but I'm honestly not the kind of person that really recommends side swaps as a prerequisite for something else.
Right.
I don't even know why. But a lot of people like trying to learn 6 balls, they go for 6, 6, 6, 6, 1 with 5 balls. I never liked that. I don't know. I just never feel like, I know Esteban, like the guy from, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The ball juggler. He does a lot of side swaps. He does like, in order to work on 7 balls, he does all of the side swaps with a 7 in them.
Right.
That's not my style at all. I'm like more traditional, I would say.
Oh. Yeah,
I do what Gatto does. I juggle 5 balls, then I do 3 in one hand. And I found his old practice videos, of like when he was 12 and 13, and his performances. And I kind of like 5-ball cascade going to 3 in one hand, and then 5-ball cascade going to 3 in the other hand, doing half shower from both sides. You know, I just sort of do what I see other people do and what I like. And I like what Thomas does. I like what Anthony does. And everyone else like is, in my opinion, for like as far as my personal taste is concerned, is too side swappy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I like side swap, but I like base patterns better.
I agree. Yeah.
But what does it help you with?
Well, I feel like even just this year, I haven't juggled very much except for in the past 2 months. So I feel like I've been in a place where I need to just sort of get the feeling of juggling comfortable again. Like 5 clubs, that's been a big one for me. I mean, obviously I have 5 clubs solid, but there were a lot of times this year where I pick up 5 clubs, and even the cascade, it was just requiring too much adjustment. Now I'm using clubs as an example here, but I think it's true for 5 and 6 balls as well. Like if I can, you know, it's one thing to work on your basic pattern, but if I can learn to throw 5 balls in 10 or 15 different ways and have a sense of how to space the different throw heights, like 8, 6, 4 with 6 balls, that's a nice example, I think. And it also forces you to be able to throw higher throw heights quickly and accurately, like 8.64. That's kind of one that feels really nice. Really nice for me. But you also mentioned not using the sight swaps as a prerequisite, and something that I do in my practice, I'm curious if you ever do it too, is trying to hit more than one skill using one trick at the same time. So, for example, when I juggle five balls, or I'll use clubs as an example. One of the first things I do with four clubs is after I do the basic fountain in double spins, I'll do it in low triple spins. And then keeping the triples the same height, I'll move it up to six club height and do four clubs in triples at six club height. So there I'm working on sort of two things at once. I'm working on timing with four clubs and different heights with four clubs. And then I'm also warming myself up for six. And then I'll do the same thing with quads. So I'll do a really high four club fountain in quads. And I'm working on that throw height and being able to spin them that much. Cause there are some tricks with five clubs where you need to be able to throw quads. Like, you know, there are several, you can think of them, but then I'm also working on maybe, some tricks with six clubs there. Right. Does that sort of make sense? And have you ever sort of used that approach yourself?
I think it just happens organically probably with some things like, but also what I wanted to say about the sight swaps is that for me, adding a trick to my practice routine, like that requires a lot of dedication because that's going to be in there for the next 3 to 4 years before it starts feeling like all the other tricks, you know, before it starts feeling like something that is just part of my practice routine. So I tend to focus on things that I really, really, really want to learn. Like a couple years ago, I added balance in the ring and juggling five and dropping into six. And then recently I added juggling six with a balance and dropping into seven. You know, so a new side swap doesn't excite me as much, at least not enough for me to put it in. What were you just saying? How something was a sort of prerequisite for two other things. I started putting, that's one of the things I want to learn is juggling three clubs. But every throw is a balance. So every throw is a balance on your forehead. You know what I mean? Like Gina Schwartzman does that, where she puts a club on her head and then she puts the second one on her head and that first one comes down. It just keeps going. And in a way, that really helps with going from five club cascade to a balance at four club fountain. Because you get used to putting a balance on your head really fast with incredible precision or not. Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that has helped me a lot with I guess you've sort of discovered something I didn't even really think about. I hadn't thought about the fact that I really started to like balancing and to really focus a lot of my practice on balancing without actually being aware of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And in a way, now that you mention it, I feel like even just my one club balance on my forehead has gotten so much better just over these past couple of years without me really noticing. Because now when I put it on there, it doesn't even feel like I'm doing anything. Like it requires almost zero mental focus to just have it mm-hmm. there. I always feel like I'm not even balancing. I'm just, my forehead is just waiting for something to move and to adjust, mm-hmm. you know? So I guess it probably makes sense to learn a lot of tricks from the same category. Like if you're learning to bounce, do it with balls, rings, and clubs, because that saves a lot of time.
That's what I do.
Learning
yeah.
to, I guess, balance a club, try to do, learn a three club trick that requires balancing, a four club and a five club trick. Maybe also give your six clubs and a balance a couple tries a day. Because mm-hmm. it's not really much of an extra effort, but you might be getting a lot more in return for the time you put in.
Yep. Yeah, that was I think that was my sort of approach to learning the head bouncing. Right. Like I'd have to work on it with five balls, but it's like, okay, well, I need to work on it with three clubs too and four clubs. And why not try it with five clubs and also the rings.
Yeah,
And
you're
same
going
with
to have some sort of focus, right? I mean, we're not doing three ball tricks like the Japanese ball jugglers, you know what I mean? Like doing upside down boxes, all sorts of variations. So when I'm saying put in as much as you can, I'm still talking about a certain focused set of, you know, traditional juggling patterns, right?
And I mean, I felt that when I was learning to juggle more with a balance and a head bounce, I was relearning the basic patterns in a way. And when you've done a lot of different tricks at a high level, there's something really powerful about still getting your five ball cascade better. Like, yeah, does that kind of make
Very
sense? That
humbling,
was
yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right. That's something humbling about that. Let's see. I've got a couple more questions for you, and you kind of already answered this one, but who inspires your juggling, like in the past, and then also today? Jugglers that maybe don't juggle so much anymore, and then jugglers who are regularly posting today. Who are you watching?
I started in 2008, and the first jugglers I saw, like real jugglers, were Vova and Olga. So that passing video was, I had it on my iPod, I remember, and I would be watching that like nonstop all the time. And also Jason Garfield's ball routine from 2004. So all the 2004 videos that back in the day were online, like available online. I would watch those. And then, of course, when I went to my first convention in Germany, I met Thomas Dietz. So in 2009 in Dresden, I think. And he doesn't remember, but I do remember because he gave me like tips for my five clubs. My first goal was to learn five clubs. And he was like, okay, I think if you keep doing this, you can learn it in like 12 to 18 months. So that was really like something that really motivated me. And I didn't get deep into the juggling community until 2012, 13. So the only people I knew were Vova, Olga, Thomas, and Jason. And pretty much, I didn't even know Gatto. The only people I knew were those guys, and maybe Toby Walker. But I think there were no videos of his available. So, but then in 2012, I got PX3 juggling clubs, and I don't know what happened, but I was somehow motivated to like push my juggling. I wasn't able to juggle six balls really well. I wasn't able to juggle seven balls because I was used to making a lot of progress because I learned five balls in like 6 months from zero. But I think, so used to making a lot of progress and making progress so much faster than everybody else, that learning six and seven, I just got frustrated and sort of just like tossed that thought out the window, you know, not really wanting to keep going. And then with those new clubs, I was motivated. I was like, okay, I'm going to learn the three clubs like through the legs, like Alberts or body throws or crotch throws. And I said, I'm going to do all it takes to learn this trick. And I put in, you know, like 4 hours because I saw Vova do it. That was really inspiring. It was always one of my favorite tricks, that and five ball back crosses. And it took me like 3 months, I think, maybe four, I don't know. Doing one club 3 to 4 hours every day. So I did the one club body throw like 3 to 4 hours. I was just listening to like audiobooks because I said, I'm gonna do whatever it takes. And then towards the end of the day, I would like check in with my three clubs and see if it actually made, if I was making any progress. But I was just like, I'm gonna keep going with one club until I can do it. And then in 2013, that's when I went to my first Berlin convention, my first EJC, because my parents went on vacation. They went to Toulouse, and before that, they told me, oh, we found out about the European Juggling Convention. I didn't even want to go, right? I had no idea what an EJC was. I didn't really want to go because, like, why would I want to go? Like, I don't know anybody. So, But then they convinced me because I was staying with them at like a holiday home. I would just go to the convention, you know, throughout the day and then go home at night and then come back the next day. And that's the convention where I met Thomas in person again and actually saw him practice. And that was the most inspiring thing I think I've ever experienced. That and later in the that year, later that year, I saw Manuel for the first time when he was still juggling, like actually practicing. And those two practice sessions, I still remember like it was like almost as if it were yesterday, because those were the only people I met, I've ever met, that actually structured their practice. They started with one club, both of them, and they started with one ball, they started with three rings, you know, and they were just slowly working their way up. And they were never trying to land a super hard trick. And they were still doing things that were they were consistent to a point that I was like, wow, I've never seen this before. And I never thought they were actually that good, because I knew the videos. I just didn't know Thomas was actually able to do five club back crosses for 100 catches on his first try. You know, you see it in the video, but you're like, okay, it probably took him a couple times. And to this day, that was probably the most inspiring experience ever. Just sitting there, I still have like the video from of Thomas's practice, I think, on my on an old SD card. Yeah, and then I never had an experience like that after. Like seeing Manuel do six club tricks, which I never even thought was possible to like be able to do six club tricks, like without trying 10 times to hit a like a 9555 or something. Yeah, that was probably the most inspiring. And I saw Bova after, and I saw Jonah, but still to this day, I would say Thomas and then Manuel.
How do you feel about practicing at conventions? Because, okay, I guess I didn't have this question before right now, but...
No, that's fine. I will love it.
Last year was my first EJC. Did the internet cut?
Right. Hold on. I didn't think of that. Okay.
Yeah, last year was my first EJC, and I, you know, I had been to a lot of conventions in the United States domestically before going to EJC. That was a pretty big experience for me as far as experiencing the juggling culture in other countries, and I found there specifically people, and I mean this doesn't necessarily happen to everybody, but people will sit down and watch each other practice. Or if there's an excellent juggler in the gym, people will just sit down and watch them practice. I always find personally showing up at juggling conventions, my juggling sucks, it's awful. Maybe the lights are bad, or I know that there are people around and it's just not the same as me practicing by myself. Have you ever sort of, do you feel, I feel pressure when I go and juggle in the gym. Maybe it's just the awareness that somebody could be watching. Do you ever feel that way?
I wouldn't call it pressure, but I actually like having people watch. Because it like pushes me to, you know, try a little harder, or to like show off a little bit, you know, not in the bad sense. I
mean, yeah.
The good sense of the word. Right. I want to sort of, because people will, I just did a practice, earlier in the year. I don't remember the convention. It was near Stuttgart. I think it was Eichthal. There was like, I don't know, 200-300 people, maybe just regular German convention. And I was practicing late at night, maybe, I don't know, 2 until 4 in the morning, and then going to bed. And then the next morning, I was like drinking coffee, you know, having breakfast, just sitting there by myself, just looking at the people in the gym, like sitting on the benches, right? And there was a guy coming up to me. He was like, oh, were you the guy that was practicing here yesterday? I was just sitting here, you know, throughout all of your practice, and I was mesmerizing. Well, and like these kinds of things keep happening. And I just enjoy, you know, sharing what I personally consider to be like one of the most important things in my life for me with others. And I like watching people practice too. And rooting for them, you know, like, come on, you can do this, Luca, come on, can you do this trick? Can you do that trick? So Yeah, and it's more fun for me to have people watch. Like, by being by myself, it's harder for me to be motivated. Also, at a convention, it is harder for me to motivate myself to practice when the gym is empty. I'm much more motivated at, like, when everybody's coming back from the gala show to be like, okay, come on. There's people here now. We can let's find a space and let's slowly start and build up a crowd or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
Not a
and having
massive crowd, but to have it's just so nice to have people watch that you, whose opinions you value as far as the technical aspects of juggling. You know?
Sure. Yeah, well, and there's and just the vibe in the gym when the vibe in the gym is really nice and people are, yeah, maybe after the gala show is always a good evening, right? Like everybody's in a good mood and just really into the juggling and
Yeah,
not
sometimes
tired.
I'll just announce, you know, oh yeah, people are like, oh, how are your seven clubs? And I'm like, come back in 3 days and I'll show you something. I'll show you 966. And then I'm like, I've announced it, so I'm now pressured and I have to try and get it. And that's what also happened at ISTA. So the last night I did a 966 from Cascade and back to Cascade, you know, so that was nice. And then people will still remember at the next convention, someone was coming up to me. Weren't you the guy that did the 966 at the ISTA convention? I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
You know,
that's
so.
okay, a couple of I've got three more questions for you, and only two have to do with juggling.
Okay, let's do the ju let's do that. Oh, well, let's maybe save the juggling one, or do you want to do, does it like fit in well with what we just talked about?
It
You
doesn't
decide.
apply.
You're the one.
Of course.
Sorry.
Where do you think the best jugglers in the world historically come from, and why is it sort of from a perspective, do you think? Is that a
Can you
challenging
repeat that?
question? I
Why
don't
is it
know.
so what?
Where
Because I
do the
just had a
best jugglers?
glitch.
Oh, where do the best jugglers in the world come from? Like, what country or region do you think in general? So we can speak generally, and then do you think there's sort of a cultural reason for that?
That. Actually, 2 hours ago, the guy in the park just asked me that. He was like, oh, the best are probably from Asia, right? Well, it's hard to say because I could name a country. I could give you names. I mean, the US definitely has a good amount of people. There's Gatto, and then today there is Spencer, what I would say. Just given the fact that he's like the third person in the world to ever have gotten seven clubs solid. And I would think his seven is probably better than Vovas, so he's probably the number two. But I'm not going to say that out loud. Well, I just did, but just forget about it. No, I love Vova. I love Vova. Vova. Don't block me. I would say Germany has a lot of really good jugglers, like Rudi Horn. I don't know if you know him. I feel like he's probably one of my favorite jugglers ever because he was so solid. He was like balancing a lamp and he was doing seven rings, and that was like the easiest trick of his act. And he did
Oh, I
like
need to.
five ball back crosses with bouncy balls, wearing like a really nice. Like really nice attire. I don't really know what it was, but it didn't look like it was something made to be comfortable for juggling. He would do it for regular audiences in Vegas, you know? And he would go from doing that to doing the unicycle trick with the cups and the plates on his head. Germany has, I think, a lot of people. I mean, Ignatov was born in Germany, but he's a Russian, right? So, but he was born here
I
in
know that.
Chemnitz. So I would say probably the US, Italy with Rastelli. I don't know a lot of people from France. I mean, there's Françoise Rocher, but mostly it's just maybe it's down to luck having someone that I'm trying to think. Was there ever a really, really, really famous British juggler? I mean, there was Alex Baron, but he's like very much a numbers juggler, right? So he's not traditionally what you would think of as an Ignatov or a Gatto or. No, I would say Germany, maybe the U.S. Maybe it has something to do with like the just countries that are better, like are well off economically, better off than others. That can provide their citizens the opportunity to explore something like that. You know, with a good, because if you want to juggle and actually get good and be able to juggle all the time, you need to have a way to make money juggling. So I guess Germany with all the, what we call it, variété, you can really make money here. And I recently read the one of Françoise Rocher's biographies. And she talks about how in France it was really, really hard to make money, even after they even haven't been recognized as like a world champion in Vegas, haven't been recognized in the Guinness Book. She still would. She then met someone who introduced her to the German variety scene. And that really was what gave her the opportunity to make money juggling. And to not have to worry. But before that, there was no way to do that. So maybe that's a reason why Germany has people. The U.S. Definitely has, with Vegas, has an entertainment capital. Also, Rudy Horn, he spent a lot of time in Vegas. You know, he was performing in Vegas post-World War II. Like, just like Gatto was performing in Vegas all the time. Or maybe countries with a big circus tradition, like Russia. So I would say countries with a big circus tradition, especially Holstruf, Rustelli, Francis Brunn, I think, is German too. Rudy Horn, Ignatov, even Gatto went into circus after. So right. Maybe that's what it comes down to. People that have grown up in countries with a good, with a certain, socioeconomically, it has to be well off. More or less. I don't think I know anybody who's from a really, really poor country that was able to practice enough to get up to, it's like gymnastics, right? The countries with the most money have the best gymnasts, mostly, because, or the countries that put the most money into the sport have the best people in the sport, often, not all the time, but I feel like that's I mean, I don't know anybody, any really good jugglers from Africa, for example. So that's something we'd have to explore.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are a lot of good jugglers in Europe and America, but for different reasons. I mean, you know, obviously Gatto was American, and that's one great juggler right there. But aside from
just one, right?
Lucas? I mean, but. Well, I have mixed opinions on him, but I think we can separate performers
from juggling.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I haven't watched enough of his stuff. I mean, he could do things that other jugglers couldn't do. But
well, I saw him do on like ice skates. I saw him do. On one, standing on one foot, there was a ring on the other foot spinning. He would have like not really a balance, but like a stick on his head, and he would juggle seven rings, and that was like in a show.
I'd like to see the video.
Ice Capades show. I'm gonna send you the video after.
Yeah, I knew he could do a trick like that, but I mean, so there are performers. And then there are sort of, I'd call myself a hobbyist in general. Maybe there's sort of a competitive spirit that exists in America, you know, that's maybe a little bit unlike other places that contributes to the emergence of great hobbyist jugglers from America. Whereas in Europe, you know, just from my perspective, and of course it varies culturally by country, but I think European culture in general is much friendlier, or it's much more acceptable, accepted to socially to be a performer, right? And there are more avenues to do that, like you said, variety shows and all of this. I don't really know that that exists so much in America. You know, Spencer's, for example, I mean, he's performing with a circus that's touring right now, but, and I think there are some circuses in America, but not very many. Whereas, you know, Europe, it's also smaller geographically, and it's easier to go from Paris to Berlin to, you know, Milan or whatever, right? And there might be opportunities to perform in all of those places. And then you mentioned tradition as well, which I think is most important in the case of Russia.
A lot of them come from a tradition of performers, you know, with Gatto was a stepfather. Mm-hmm. With the Qian brothers in China, who did like 8 rings solid on stage, you know, mm-hmm. they're all, I don't know if they're actually brothers, but it looks to me like they're at least from a tradition, like from like going way back, a group of people that does circus in some way. Same with Francis Brunn, his sister does the same thing, trained by their dad. I would say that because of the internet, you now have an emergence of hobby jugglers like us, you know, who were the yeah. hobby started to spread through the internet, through video.
Well, and on this too, I'd like to bring up the question of Latin America, because there's a huge population of jugglers there from what I can gather, and I think based on what I know, juggling there is culturally and socially much more akin to, say, skateboarding in America, where it's like a more common hobby for people to have. And I don't even know that that's really the case in Europe, where I always thought there were the most jugglers.
I mean, you can't really do buskin or things like that. You're gonna mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, Latin America has a different socioeconomic situation too, where you see people busking a lot, right? And there are some insane jugglers that juggle at traffic lights, right? That's like the exactly. place where are there. Well, I was in Argentina last year, for example, and I saw jugglers at streetlights there, or people doing similar skills. So
that could be doing in terms of their skill level and presentation of variety shows in Europe, right? I mean, theoretically.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. The level is insane. No, I met a couple right. of them. I met Isadora, and, I met Juanito.
You cut out there for a moment.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just saying how I, at EJC this year, I met a couple of Latin American jugglers. Isadora, who now lives in Berlin, and Juanito, who now lives in, I want to say Belgium. I'm not really sure. I forgot. But yeah, the level is, but it's still a different style somehow. Mm-hmm. You know how, like, when you see people do columns with four clubs and you're like, that's from a different era?
Yeah.
Or nobody does 6 clubs. Everybody does 5, but hands held out like this and super high, like totally different mm-hmm. style.
So we kind of mentioned Latin America emerging as a hotspot for hobbyist jugglers. Sort of my last question on juggling. I mean, I've been juggling for almost 20 years now, and I started juggling when the WJF was really getting hot, right? And that was sort of the driving force, you know, the WJF and the emergence of YouTube, juggling montages, right? That really drove the culture for, you know, I started juggling in 2005. I would say that was a big part of the juggling culture until about 2012, 2013, maybe around the time that you became active. After that, I'm not really sure what took over as sort of the where juggling culture as a whole, what direction it took. And then I stopped juggling for the most part from about 2015 until about 2018. And since I've come back to juggling, obviously, you know, people share everything, whether it's juggling or stuff from life, on Instagram now, or things like that, where you might have a, you know, a 10-second juggling clip or a 20-second juggling clip instead of a montage.
Yeah, I kind of miss the old days of YouTube, where it was where you would be waiting for someone to come up with their video of the year or whatever, you know.
Of course,
because you'd be sitting down watching their montage, which would be a 5, 6, 7 minute montage of their best tricks, or not, maybe not even their best tricks, but it would be like one long form video product. Whereas these days it's an ad, and then it's a juggling trick, and then it's another ad and another juggling trick. So it's not it's instant gratification, but it doesn't compare to what we used to have before. So I totally agree with the fact that we've sort of lost this like uniting force, right? This sort of one thing that keeps everybody going. It feels like everybody's doing their own thing. They're all in their like practicing. But there's no real one thing I'm looking forward to as far as like hearing from one specific juggler or looking forward to a video. Whereas before I would be like, wow, I wonder if Jonah's uploaded a new video. I wonder if Delaney's uploaded a new video. They could be posting like 5 clips on Instagram a day. I wouldn't even notice probably, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you kind of answered the question, which was like, what's next for juggling and what's it going to take? You know, I'd like to see juggling become culturally more than it is right now, you know?
I wanted to be like gymnastics, where you have competitions and where you sort of have the different levels of capability. So whereas like in gymnastics you have like level 10, then you have elite, you have college, you know. Mm-hmm. And I want there to be a sense of where even normal people that don't juggle know, okay, that guy can do 5 club back crosses, so that's good. And this guy, that guy can do 7 balls, and that guy can do 7 clubs. You know, where you have sort of a sense of where people are in terms of their skill level compared to each other, and have that be spread out across the general public. That would be nice. I don't know who's going to do that and how that exactly is going to happen, but I feel like that's something that's long overdue. And
yeah,
we'll just have to wait and see. Or
yeah, I feel like, I mean, there's sort of a competitive aspect that you mentioned. I feel like for me, given what most people, at least in America, what their impression of juggling is at the moment, I feel like it's more likely that instead of becoming a, you know, like a competitive thing, like I want it to become, or I would hope that it could maybe become something that is seen as cool or popular, right?
You
know, gymnastics, it's competitive, but it's not something, and it's impressive to watch, of course, but it's not something that's popular in sort of cultural consciousness. The only way that I can think that would happen is, you know, I want to see Taylor Swift do a 5-ball cascade in one of her shows. That, I mean, seriously, somebody of that gravity, do you know?
Yeah, sure. I'm not a Swift, but I know, yeah.
Somebody of that persona, you know, I mean, she, just using her as an example, I don't know, she might have 75,000 people at one show. Even if she broke out a 3-ball or a 4-ball fountain, right? Like, she could create, you know,
like a sense of, like make people aware of that juggling exists, right?
I mean, 2,000 young people could go home and juggle that, learn how to juggle that night, because Taylor Swift, you know, that's really the direction that it would have to take for juggling to become, I think, more popular than it is right now.
Or
but
Trump and Biden pass 6 clubs or something. And the pendulum in the middle, be like,
there's no way. It's more likely for Taylor Swift, I think. So if anybody listening, you know, knows any celebrities, you know, make sure they can juggle and can show that, I guess. But yeah, otherwise, I don't really know what direction.
No, but what I still love is just, because I've gone to a lot more conventions this year and last year than, you know, during COVID, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I just still love just being in the gym and seeing different people juggle and seeing different people practice. And then these past couple years with Spencer, finally we have someone now who is really pushing the limits again. Mm-hmm. That's just super, super, super cool. And I'm just so sad I wasn't able to make it to the British convention where he was doing his, where he did his 1 minute with seven clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would have probably been my new favorite juggling highlight ever that I saw live.
He, I mean, it's hard to get a sense of how good he is at juggling until you see him juggle in person. He's just consistent. Again, talking about jugglers who are great at all three props, he's just good. He's just so at such a high level on all three props and can do, you know, almost everything with all three. I don't think there are any jugglers these days that can really do that. Well, Jonah's excellent. He would be up there as well. But Spencer is just on another level. I think also because of his physical size, he's just a tall guy. He's a big guy. And so for him to juggle seven clubs looks to me in person when I see him do it, it looks pretty easy for him physically. And that opens up, you know, probably his energy to do a lot more stuff, you know, tricks, DBs.
He needs to work on his six club fountain because that really doesn't look good.
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Don't watch. I think there's a video somewhere.
It's
like,
okay.
It's like, I don't know, a bent fork, like two bent forks.
Oh, okay.
No, but I think he's aware. He's aware that it needs work.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
I love him, by the way. I don't want it to end on like a negative note.
He's great. Well, that makes his whole thing, you know, way better. Is he's just the nicest and coolest guy ever.
I met him when he was, I think, how old was he? How old is he now? Because I met him 9 years ago. Yeah, how old
I think he's, I'm going to guess he's 23 or 24. I'm not sure.
He's probably, because he like grew up so fast. He got so he was so much taller than I thought he would. I mean, when I met him, he was like a tiny little guy doing seven balls.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he stood out. Now he like literally stands out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well. Yeah, he's the best, and I think it just seems like he's pushing all the time and doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, he's the hope of the entire juggling world right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the guys from Ukraine that do like 9 rings and 10 rings, but I think Spencer, within the next couple of years, he's going to get there too. He's going to start doing 9 rings seriously because 9 balls is insane.
Mm-hmm.
For someone that I would never have thought was like a ball, 9 ball juggler, when I saw his 9, I was like, okay. You know, because he really has the 7 ball foundation. So his 9 is so much, so much better than most people's 9 balls that I've tried for years.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't. Well, and he's great at all three props. I mean, there are other jugglers that come to mind who are excellent ball jugglers specifically, or great club jugglers like Masa from Japan or Kaito. You know, great club jugglers, great ring jugglers like the Eastern European folks that you mentioned. But he's really he could really do
well. And David, yeah.
So one last question, okay, that doesn't have anything to do with juggling. I went to Europe for the first time last year, and I've been over there twice since then. I've really only explored Portugal and Spain. I've traveled a decent bit within Spain. You, to me, are somewhat famously a big France head. Aside from being, I think you seem to love France a lot. Where do you suggest I sort of visit next within Europe outside of Spain and Portugal?
Oh, I'm probably not the best person to ask, because the reason I like to travel really is just to speak the different languages.
So oh, that's interesting.
To, So I don't really care. I can go to like I don't know, a place that is not even a touristy place, just to hear people speak French and speak French with them. That to me would be like the best vacation ever, even if I don't see any monuments or touristy places, you know? So I travel for very different reasons. I'm not the type of person that has to have seen a certain place. But
Sure.
if you, I guess even Germany is very nice. Just I think every country has a little bit of a different atmosphere. Whereas, because when I was in Spain, I've been maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 times in total these past couple of years. I don't know how exactly, but it felt like it was like half European, and then it had this sort of even a little, I don't know, a Middle Eastern touch almost. I don't know, I can't really tell. And then when you go to France, it has like half of that Spanish touch, but already it feels more northern. I don't know how to say, more Central European almost. And then even within France, there's nuances. But and then Germany just feels very. Whenever I come back to Germany from a country I go to. And that's not to say that Germany's like the best country ever, but I remember this being a child traveling and then coming back to Germany. I was always surprised how everything was in order and how everything was like neat and tidy and nice. And then sometimes when you travel, you start to see how differently things work in other countries. And you have to travel a lot to sort of overcome that sense of. You know, sometimes it's strange to go to a different place and to get used to different customs and different traditions, ways of doing things. Even just like little things, like when you get gas, do you pay before or after? Like things like that. You know, that can really catch you off guard. So, no, go wherever you want to go. Are you working on any languages?
Well, I'm going to Brazil in about 6 weeks.
That's
So,
Portuguese.
yeah, so I've been learning a bit of Portuguese, just enough to, enough to get around and carry on some basic conversation. But that's not really so applicable outside of just a couple of countries, right? I'd really like to work on, I mean, Spanish, outside of Europe, I mean, really, Spanish is the most practical language, in my opinion, that you can, I mean, maybe aside from Chinese, but especially in the United States, there are a lot of Spanish speaking people here.
Even in Germany, I can, because my Spanish is now good enough to like have conversations. So, and even in Germany, I keep coming across people that speak Spanish. Like every I don't know, every other week,
And
they'll be
I
speaking a
took
little bit of Spanish. So if I were you, I'd probably go for Spanish or Portuguese because you seem to like going to Portugal and now Brazil. Because if that's your destination, why not?
I took German for 5 years in school, but that was a long time ago. And
Well, if you're not in Germany, like or
right.
Switzerland or Austria or wherever German is spoken, there's like four countries where German is like a big language, but then all the other countries, it's not really spoken much outside of those.
It could be nice to know, but not the most practical. So, well, I'll think about it. I'll think about
Yeah,
it and
it's like another six ball fountain, so it takes a lot of time, to learn a language, so you really gotta think about that beforehand.
Well, and I think the EJC is in, I think it's in Portugal next year, so who knows?
Exactly, yeah.
We'll see.
We will see.
Cool. All right. I think that's all I have for you. Thanks for your time. I'm gonna go juggle three rings in my bedroom for the next 5 hours and work on throwing
No, that's
rings.
the wrong takeaway. You do it for like 20 to 30 minutes, And then you take a 23-hour break, and then you do it again.
All right, I've got my week planned out then. I think I know. I think I know what I'm going to work on. Cool.
Right, thank you, Jack. So have a great day, and I'll see you next year, next summer, unless you
Sounds
come
good.
over earlier.
All right, let's do it. Thanks, Christian.
All right.